Unions don't have the best track record when it comes to K-12 403b plans. The National Education Association receives endorsement fees from a company that charges fees we wouldn't recommend to our worst enemies. In California, the California Teachers Association has fought legislative efforts to allow school districts to put their 403b plans out to competitive bid. Today, on the Teach and Retire Rich podcast, we interview a representative from a union that we think is doing it right.
Our guest today hails from the great state of Wisconsin and represents what I consider the premier union-slash-association-run 403b program in the United States. It's called the WEA Member Benefits, or Wisconsin Education Association Member Benefits. We're excited to have on the show today Sonia Penner, the Manager of Communications, to tell us about this standout program, how it started, and why it's so different than many of the other association programs that we see around the country. So without further ado, I am excited to welcome to the show, Sonia.
Thank you. It's glad to be here.
Sonia, welcome. I remember about 14 or 15 years ago, Scott called me up and said, "You are not going to believe this. I have discovered a union that is actually doing good by their members in terms of the 403b. They are advocating for their members, and they offer a great 403b product."
That would be Wisconsin.
So yeah, we want to find out about this.
Yeah.
So Sonia, I'd like to hear. I've heard the genesis. I've heard the origin story here, but it was a long time ago. And I think our listeners, it's actually a very interesting story. So can you kind of give us the genesis of how the Wisconsin Education, this thing that you guys do, started?
Yeah, so in the 1970s, the union in Wisconsin was pretty strong for the Wisconsin educators. And the members were looking to them to really provide them more than just help in the workplace and, you know, and writing contracts and negotiating salaries and that sort of thing. There were some educators who had a bad experience in one part of the state, at least this is the story that I've heard, where a local broker had asked them to, you know, invest their money for retirement with them, and they didn't have a great experience, let's just say that. So they went to the union to see what could be done, and the result of that was that the union created a trust to offer the 403b program to Wisconsin public educators. And the trust is set up so that it operates as a not-for-profit, so that any profit that is brought in is put back into the programs and that are offered to the participants. And the other thing that's really great about this program is we don't have shareholders. So we have nobody who wants to make money off of this deal except for the educators who want to, you know, save up for their retirement. Our board of directors, they are all active and retired educators. They do not get paid. There's no compensation involved, so they volunteer their time. And we also are able to offer really low fees because we don't have shareholders or anybody that's looking to profit from this, the 403B.
This is so different than our experience with unions in regard to the 403B. Scott and I have discussed this before on the podcast, you know, our frustration with the NEA, the National Education Association, reportedly receives a pretty hefty endorsement fee for recommending a company named Security Benefit, which by, I think, most observers has a price structure that I would say we wouldn't recommend. Right, Scott?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Yeah, it's a very expensive product. Instead of doing what, Sonia, you guys have done and advocating and creating something that works for the teachers, they are really in it, it seems, for the money, which is, and we don't want to focus on that here on the podcast, but I think it's a stands in stark contrast to what you guys are doing, where everything is redirected back to your members.
Well, you hear this word trust in members, and it comes clear, comes through loud and clear, Sonia, in your description of this. How were you able to accomplish this?
Wow. Well, I've only been here for 13 years. So I can only speak from what I've heard and my personal experience. But I'll tell you that the foundation really that our organization is built on is education. We really believe that if we can provide sound advice and education to the public school employees who need to save for retirement, or actually on any financial matter for that, as far as that's concerned, if we can provide them with that sound information, they're going to make good choices, and they're going to choose us because fees. Keeping fees low is a really critical piece of your financial security and getting to your end goal. And so I think if, once we teach them that they need to pay attention to fees, that even 1% can have a dramatic impact on their bottom line, their final balance when they finally need to, access their money, and that, that there's somebody here that they can trust, that we are unbiased in a lot of ways. I mean, frankly, if we saw that somebody had a better program, their fees were lower, their investments were, had low expense ratios, and they were getting the service that they need, we would say, great, you've got something good going. You don't need to switch to us. We're not a high pressure sales. We don't have commissioned people. Selling our 403B or our IRA program, people come to us because we've taught them what to look for in a good product that's going to help them achieve their financial goals. And then when they see that that's what we offer, they just choose us.
Scott, I'm looking at their lineup here, and I'll just give a quick overview. You can view this at weabenefits.com, and you can access their 403b plan. But here are their choices. They have a fixed income lineup, paying a guaranteed rate of 3.8% at the moment. Life cycle funds by Vanguard, large cap stocks by Fidelity, T. Rowe Price, and Vanguard. Mid-cap stock funds by T. Rowe Price and Vanguard, small-cap funds by T. Rowe Price and Vanguard, specialty funds by T. Rowe Price, international equity funds by Fidelity and Vanguard. And that's just a few of the companies. There's some other companies, but again, the low-cost leaders are just present throughout your fund lineup.
Yeah, so we're constantly making adjustments. We look at, we have certain criteria that need to be met by the funds that we offer. And, fees is one of them. Stability of management is another. Just, sound family, fund families. And we have an investment board that is just constantly looking at what our offerings are. So we're not afraid to change things up. We put, funds on probation if they're not performing well, or we really, all of our expense ratios, I believe, are well below 1%. I mean, I'm looking at one right now that's 0.08. We're also able to offer institutional shares because we have such buying power. We have over $3 billion worth of assets, public school employee assets in our 403B program.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, tell us, so this is why Dan and I recommend, or why we think that there needs to be single vendor or very controlled vendor environment, because you are proof positive of what economies of scale can do for teachers. With $3 billion in assets, you're able to drive down the costs because you're able to pool everybody's, you're like the Costco of 403b plans here. You're able to pool everybody's assets and get a very low fee, which saves, the members a ton of money over time. As well as you have some amazing negotiating power with that fixed account of yours. I don't know of another general account that's paying 3.8% in today's interest rate environment where treasuries are paying around 1.7, 1.8. And it's really a testament to your economies of scale.
Right. We actually that is a product that nobody is willing to come up with anymore. I mean, no one's willing to offer that anymore. It's a product that many years ago was set up. It was the very first thing that we had actually as an investment in our 403B program. So at first we didn't have mutual funds. We just had the guaranteed account. And it was through another company, I think it was Cigna at the time, and now it's Prudential. And we have kind of this exclusive deal with Prudential that we've just created over the years. It's a little bit slow to catch up when the bonds go up and the market goes up, but it's also slow to come down. We've had, I think the highest I've seen, it was in the 1980s, it was paying out 17%.
Of course, interest rates on homes were 15%, right?
Exactly. But, so it does kind of follow, right? I mean, it falls in line with that. The interest rates are right now are really low, so we're at 3.8. But, if you were a person in the 1980s who didn't have a mortgage or had gotten a mortgage with a lower rate, but yet you're able to put money into an account that's paying you 18% or 17% or whatever, that's pretty amazing.
It is pretty amazing. I mean, even at 3.8 today, I mean that's a pretty amazing rate. That's got to help attract assets, especially. And tell me this, Sonia, I'm interested in what you see in Wisconsin. Here in California, where I'm at, I hate to stereotype teachers, but they do tend to be more conservative in their investments. And I mean, it looks like 2/3 of your assets are in fixed accounts. So it seems like that's probably the way that teachers are there in Wisconsin as well.
Well, I think a lot of the assets that we have in that particular account come from the fact that, it hasn't really been that many years since we have gotten mutual funds. I think it was 1990s, maybe. So there were already a lot of assets in that in the guaranteed account. So some of that is just still there, right? There was a time where I think people were, when we offered the mutual funds, were more interested. The market was good. They're more interested in investing in equities. And, recently with this last 2008 and the crash in the market and everything, there's just people are really gun shy. When you have people who have gone through that two or three times in their investing, timeline, over the course of their career, and then their children now are adults, so they're coming in. The new teachers are coming in, and they've seen that their parents' retirement accounts have been cut, in half or whatever. They're pretty afraid of the investment. They're not sure that it's a really good idea, which is why the education is so important.
Well, that was going to be my next question. How do you educate members? How do you reach them all? Is it a multi-pronged approach? Do you want to walk us through how you do this?
Man. So we have people who go out in the field, and we have relationships, obviously, with pretty much every school district in the state, just because they offer a 403B. So the field people have these relationships, and they offer to do education, financial education seminars about retirement planning, one that we call Get on Track. It's like a finances 101. We do some budgeting. We also, the Wisconsin retirement system is also like world class. I mean, it's one of the, I think, the only 100% funded or fully funded pensions in the country. People don't understand it always. And because the state doesn't have enough people to go out and educate about that, have become experts on the Wisconsin retirement system, which every Wisconsin public school employee is a participant of. So that the fact that we're not always selling our products in the education has really opened a lot of doors for us. Of course, we tell them what we have to offer, but we're really just giving them the information that they need to be financially secure. And that's, you know, that's our vision, is every member financially secure. And so it's really important for us. We take that holistic approach. So even when we send out brochures, you know, asking people to maybe get a quote on something, even if it's auto insurance, or we're inviting them to enroll or ask for more information, we're always giving them information. And so it's, whether it's on our website, in our seminars, our Facebook posts, we really try, we do a quarterly magazine that goes, that every participant receives. We also have some school districts that request to receive that magazine just to distribute to staff. So, you know, it's really all about the education piece. And I just had a conversation this last week with some very young first year, second year educators who had gone through a seminar series that they were so thankful. They were so thankful to be in an environment where they didn't feel stupid, where somebody was addressing their particular concerns, student loans, you know, how do you get started? What do you need to do your first year? It was just, it's really gratifying, I have to say, when I get a chance to talk to those people.
Sonia, this sounds so logical. It sounds exactly what the mission of union should be. Why do you think it's so hard for other unions to replicate this model? Or would it be very easy and they just haven't tried it?
You know, that's a really tough question because, you know, Wisconsin for a long time was, every Wisconsin public school employee that had a job in a public school was automatically a union member. Most states do not have that. Have that situation. They are always out needing to recruit members. Unfortunately, we're in that situation right now. So because of the right to work situation. And so our membership, you know, has suffered, the union membership has suffered because of that. I think it was our ability to focus on what the member need, or what the union to focus on what the member needed and what they were asking for and what was good for them, instead of being out recruiting all the time and organizing. And I think that allowed us to have these other programs, these proprietary kind of programs that other states just, you know, they don't have the resources to do.
Sonia, I want to go back to the start of this back in the 70s. When I had spoken, I don't remember who I spoke with. It was a long time ago. One of the things that they had mentioned to me about why this 403B was started was because you had a lot of members whose spouses worked outside the education system, had their own health insurance, and the teacher was on their spouse's health insurance plan. And so there was this benefit that the school districts were paying for, or were willing to pay for the teacher, that they were missing out on because they had health insurance elsewhere. And so this was part of a negotiated package where instead of receiving health insurance, they could actually have an employer contribution to their 403B. And it just so happened that the WEA actually started this plan to help promote that. Is that, am I not remembering that correctly? Does that sound like another reason why this thing was started?
There might be something to that, but it sounds a little odd since they also, you know, created the health trust, WEA trust, which offered health insurance, group health insurance programs to school districts. So, you know, I'm not really sure about that, but I do know that one of the benefits that employees have received as a post-employment benefit in retirement has been contributions to a 403B plan. So they will have, and they might be putting in a non-elective, non-elective contributions on behalf of the employee into a, you know, into the a 403B plan. And it, I'm not sure if it's tied to, you know, balancing out the benefits that they might not be taking. It seems logical, but I guess I just don't have the history for that. I have not heard that specifically.
Sonia, I have a question. Do your members, do they know how great this benefit you provide is?
Well, you know, it's funny because I feel like we've made a lot of headway in the last 13 years. When I first started, we were still under the Health Trust name. So we were actually WEA Trust, and we shared resources with the Health Trust because the Health Trust is huge. I mean, it's a big organization, right? They were at one time, I think they had 500 people on their staff, and member benefits right now is only 70. So, you know, I think there's just been so many changes. I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought.
Well, I was asking if the members themselves, realize what a great benefit they have? I know that was a great story to hear about these new educators who were so appreciative of the services you provided.
Right. So anyway, my point was that, you know, I think we didn't have the resources to really go out and tell people our story. But there's been a lot of changes recently. So Member Benefits has, you know, created its own identity and its own brand. And we have kind of moved away from the Health Trust because we have very different business models. They do group products. We do individual products. The marketing doesn't even work, you know, together. I mean, they're just so different. And we have really worked hard over the last 13 years to create our own identity and get the word out. I think that the awareness of what we offer and the appreciation for that is only, it's a lot better, but it's only as good as the information they have about why we're different or how unique we are. Or you know, just for instance, the fees. If they don't know what a good fee is, or what, you know, what a high fee is or a low fee is, it's hard for them to make a judgment. So again, I just can't emphasize the education piece enough.
So Nick, can you tell us a little bit about the 403B market there in Wisconsin, in the school districts there? Is it here in California? We have. Oh, and in a lot of states, you have lots and lots of vendors. In some states, you have few vendors, but they're like all just terrible, you know, high cost or high commission, high surrender charge. What is the state of the marketplace there in Wisconsin? And what's your, I mean, I don't know if you know, but do you know, like, maybe what your market share is?
You know, the regs, when they changed in 2009, really helped us out a lot. And I think it was a really good thing for Wisconsin public school employees. Every district is different. So you might have a district that offers, you know, anybody who walks in the door and says, I got a 403B, you know, program, I want to sell it. And they'd put them on the list. So we might have had some that had 40, and then there were others that just had like a handful. But what the regs did was really put more pressure on the school districts to take responsibility for the quality of those programs that they were offering and to vet them a little bit. And it was an opportunity for us to go in and help them do that. We really seized that opportunity. We spent a lot of time educating districts about what the regs meant, what responsibilities they could pass off and what responsibilities they could not pass off to a third party. And, you know, showing them what the advantages were of really reducing their vendor list to, you know, a handful of options. So that there have been a lot of changes in the marketplace here. And I would say we're a sole provider in about, I want to say, 30 or 40 districts out of 426. And we're like one of two or one of three in many, many districts. So the districts have really, I think they just don't want to have to deal with a lot of vendors and the possibility that the IRS might come in and say, audit them and say, look, you're not offering good programs. But I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that we were out educating them about it.
Wow, are you in every district in the state?
All but a handful. There are just so few. And, a lot of it has to do with the union affiliation because there are some, so there's NEA and then there's the American Teacher Federation or Federation of Teachers, whichever it is, AFT. And we have like five districts in the state that were not NEA affiliates. And because WEAC is affiliated with NEA, we were limited by that to only offering in union districts for with WEAC. So there are about five or six, and I think we actually got fired by one, but I think they're coming back. So last I heard. But they sometimes they get advice. They've got somebody that they get advice from. They've got a consultant that comes in, and often they might have a motive for the way that they steer a district. I'm not saying it's a bad motive necessarily, but
But we're not saying it's a good motive.
I'm not saying it's a good motive, but that's kind of what happens because the districts have they're busy educating kids. They don't want to have to deal with all of this stuff, and they just need somebody to trust. And so when they find somebody that they think they can trust, even if it's not us, they they sometimes they make decisions that aren't necessarily the best. But I have to say that we have really great relationships with the districts in the state, and there are just a lot of really smart district administrators out there, and they care about their employees, and they really do want to offer, what's in the best interest of them. So that helps.
Sonia, have you guys studied participation rates in school districts where you guys are the sole provider? Do you see that you have higher participation rates in those school districts?
We really do if there's a match. That's kind of a new trend in the state because of all of the changes after Act 10 with Governor Walker made major changes with funding of public education in the state and the elimination of collective bargaining. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. So you're
What was
in.
the question? What was the question again?
Do you see higher
Oh,
participation
okay. I'm sorry.
in
I don't know
districts that have
why.
sole
This must
provider?
be an Alzheimer's moment, but okay. Don't put that in.
You're fine.
Okay. So anyway, so the participation rates are really are much higher in obviously in schools that have matches. But again, that should be 100% in my opinion. But we do get a chance to go out and educate and encourage especially the younger people to take the match. But yeah, I think the sole provider gives us better chance to just have direct access to the employee. And so that's a huge advantage for us. But I have to tell you that right now we have a major data project going on in our organization because we have insurance, individual insurance products, and we have retirement products. We have systems for both of those, and they don't necessarily talk to each other. And then we have data that we get from for marketing purposes from WEAC because we're affiliated with them, and we're trying to pull all of that together in a CRM right now. It's going to give us a lot more opportunity to actually look at the data. Look at what the participation levels are in the districts and show results based on activities that we do in the district, like the education. We've got a lot of anecdotal and we can do them one-offs, but it's really hard to kind of pull one big report out and say, yes, this is working, this isn't. And so we're hoping to have that finished by June, and that is going to make a significant impact on our organization.
That's interesting. We'd love to see some of the results from that. We tend to believe that if it's done right, a sole provider can increase participation over a multi-vendor environment. And we'd like to see studies around that to see if that is actually correct. We tend to think it is. But let me ask you another question that is related. Has your state, I would think probably not, but has your state or have you guys discussed the concept of automatic enrollment?
Yes, actually, we have some that do automatic enrollment. That is an option.
You have some school districts that do auto enroll?
Yes. And there's it's an option if it's allowed in the district plan document. I believe that's one of those things that they have to have it, in their plan document that they can do that. Not 100% sure on that, but anyway, that is also a relatively new thing, and we do have some that do it, and they have to, the employee then opts out if they don't want to participate.
Wow, that's
But
interesting. Yeah,
yeah, it's
we'd love.
just a handful.
Okay. Yeah, I'd love to see data on that at some point as well. You guys are like a perfect test case to kind of see how these behavioral finance techniques and sole provider techniques actually work.
Well, yeah, it's going to be great next year to look back at all the data and really, be able to slice and dice it.
Wow, this is it's not Wisconsin, it's Nirvana, Scott.
Yes, it is. This is a completely off the topic. I have no idea why I'm asking this, but so one of my favorite football teams is the Seattle Seahawks, and their quarterback is Russell Wilson, who was the quarterback for you guys for 1 year. Are you a fan of the Wisconsin football out there? All right. You remember Russell Wilson, right? Yeah.
Russell,
So I'm actually an Oregon Duck fan as well, and I sat at the Rose Bowl with all of those Wisconsin fans, watching Wisconsin lose, but they almost pulled it out in the last second with just an amazing drive by Russell Wilson. I couldn't even believe it. I thought we were going to lose literally with 2 seconds left. Luckily, the clock bailed us out. But Russell Wilson went on to be this great quarterback for the Seahawks. So thanks for sending him our way.
That was a pretty amazing story because, he was a transfer. It was just we got pretty lucky with him. And of course the Seahawks did too, so.
Except for that one play in that one game.
Thanks, Dan, for bringing that up.
Tell you what. Normally I'm the one that goes way off task and off topic, but I'm going to bring us back. Here's a question I have. What advice would you give a union looking to improve investment options for members?
I would, let's see. I mean, I think, oh gosh, this is tough. And it's a little, just on a, as a side note, it gets a little political here, right?
You
I
can
mean,
say no comment if you want.
I think, again, it's not every union is set up to offer what we offer. I think if they really look at what is in the best interest of the members, what they would want their children or their sisters and brothers or their parents to have access to, maybe it would give them some, idea about how to approach that. I don't know. This is a really tough question. I'm a little uncomfortable with it just because I don't represent the union. And there's, yeah. So,
Let's talk about Russell Wilson now.
sorry.
Well, I
But I do think, I think if for a union, one thing that they could offer is education. The basic principles of, what they need to do to secure their future. They don't have to do this themselves. They could find resources, partner up with a not-for-profit organization that offers education. And I think just seriously, just having that knowledge is going to allow them to make better choices. Even if they're not, even if the union's not able to directly impact the offerings, it at least allows, empowers the union member or the public school employee to advocate for themselves, right? If they understand what's at stake and what they really need in a product. So I guess if I were going to say that if there's one thing I think that can make a huge impact, I think the education pieces is really critical.
We tend to think that, I mean, you guys have built something that's really spectacular, and we think it's kind of the exception. It's not a simple thing to do. It takes a lot of resources. It takes a lot of startup money if a union were to do this from scratch. And so while, you know, if they have the resources to do that, that would be great. But I think a lot of the unions or associations would probably have a bigger impact by kind of fighting for the teachers to get programs into the school districts that are similar to yours. You know, maybe it's not the WEA member benefits 403B, but in another state it might be a, you know, fighting for low cost, no surrender charge options as at least one of the investment options. And then, you know, providing resources such as 403B Wise or things like that, so that even if they can't set up this amazing structure that you've set up, they have a product that they can put their money into that they know is reasonable and is going to help them for retirement. And that's, I think, from our perspective, I mean, my wife's a union member, which, you know, kind of makes me a de facto union member. And that's where we would like to see, you know, our unions go. We want to see them fighting for us and putting good options on there, not options that really benefit them. And I think it's hard to do what you guys have done. So it's probably not the route that most unions should go, but certainly looking at what you do should inform how they instruct or, you know, communicate to their members.
Right. No, I wouldn't disagree with that. I think replicating what we have in this day and age is probably going to be very, very difficult. But yes, advocating for good quality programs to help them, you know, secure a comfortable retirement, I think is a good idea.
You know, I think the irony is you're a union that's doing it right, and your state has been such a focus of attacks on unions. And again, I don't know the whole, you know, story there, but I think that's, I hope it doesn't ultimately hurt what you're doing.
We've had a tough stretch here with the administration. But I think in terms of what we do, because we are, you know, we're really a sound organization. We're not part of the union. We're separate from the union. It just so happens that we were created to, you know, created by them. They kind of said, here, go off and, you know, set up this thing for our members or for all Wisconsin public school employees, but for our members. And, you know, we're just going to let you do your business because that's not what we do. But we need you to, you know, follow certain principles, and this is how we want it set up. And we just, you know, we just ran with it, or the people who set it up just ran with it at that time. We have stayed true to you know, those fundamental values and principles on which we were created. Yeah, in this state it's a pretty tough place to be an educator right now too. As well as a union member. So, I don't know, even know what to say about that anymore.
Okay. Why did you decide to offer the IRAs?
The IRAs are actually, an option for the family members of members, as well as the members, if they would, need a different, well, okay, so the IRAs are a lot more flexible, right?
Right.
Okay, so IRAs are a lot more flexible in terms of, you put your money in, you can get it out if you want, the contributions anyway. And a lot of the family members of the Wisconsin Public School employees, especially if they were self-employed, didn't have an option for a retirement plan. So we set up this IRA that's available to the members and also to family members. So it's spouses, parents, parents-in-law, and children can participate in that program. The really great thing about both of these programs is that we have annual fee caps. So not only do we have really low annual administrative fees, it's capped. So it doesn't matter if you have $2 million in an account here, you're never going to pay more. If you have an IRA, you're not going to pay more than $600.
Yeah, that was actually my next question. You guys have a unique structure when it comes to both 403B and IRA in terms of fees. I wouldn't say it's necessarily a trend, but I am seeing it more and more. Can you, first of all, I'm going to try to find a family member so I can contribute to you guys as a Roth because that's a or to your IRA. But until I can do that, can you tell us? Tell us about your fee structure for your 403B because it is very unique, and I haven't seen it in another 403B plan.
Right. So the only fee that we charge directly is a one annual administrative fee. And that is 3.5 basis points. Does that make sense? Point. Let me just see here. I want to make
35
sure.
0.35
Pardon
percent.
me? It is. Okay, I'm trying to find it here. I just want to make sure it's right. It's 0.35%. And we have an annual fee cap of $300 for the 403B. For the IRA program, we have one annual administrative fee of 0.45%. And we have a split fee cap, one for WEAC members, which is $600, and one for non-WEAC members, so that would be the family members, which is $750.
So,
And then the only other fees that apply are the expense ratios that are actually, the fees that are charged by the mutual funds.
Sonia, we are at about 55 minutes here, and we're going to go to our question time that we talked about doing, we talked about earlier. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our audience about what you do?
Well, I can say that this is a really gratifying job that I have. I really enjoy working for a company, an organization that is really devoted to a holistic approach, to the financial security of public school employees. I'm a staunch believer in public education, and I so appreciate everything that they do. And to be able to go home at night and know that we have done, that we do something that's really meaningful to them, that really helps me sleep well.
Well, we're definitely in tune with that sentiment. That's, kind of the philosophy behind Teach and Retire Rich. The title is, jokingly, the idea is that you engage in a career that's rewarding, that sort of a greater good career. And then if you take advantage of these various retirement saving opportunities, you can retire comfortable. So we definitely appreciate that message.
Yeah, I
Okay.
think.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh,
Go ahead, Sonia.
well, I was just going to say that, I think it's really important, more important now than ever, for young educators who are starting their careers, to realize that even though there maybe the negotiating power of the union has gone away, their benefit packages may have been, cut, that there is still a way for them to be financially successful if you can make really good choices. And, whether it's protecting, your assets with, you know, like what we have with our personal insurance products, or it's saving for your retirement and keeping your fees low. I mean, I think it's a holistic, you know, it's that holistic approach again that I think people need to really be aware of, and making good choices right out of the gate for young people, it can make just a world of difference for them.
It's so true. The 403B Wise discussion board is just filled with posts from mid-career teachers who say, I wish I would have found you 10 years earlier. So I think what you're doing is getting in front of these young teachers right at the beginning. Wow, that is going to pay off in 20, 30 years in just a really, really enormous way. So thank you. I'll go ahead and start here with our question time, and I'll ask you first, Sonia, Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers?
Oh, I got to go with Aaron.
Okay. Yeah. Scott, you got an answer there? And you can't say Russell Wilson.
I'll go with Aaron Rodgers. I have a buddy who looks just like him, and I'll go with Aaron Rodgers. We'll just put it at that.
Okay. Scott, you want to ask?
Okay, so this was literally thought of right before we went on, so it's not very well thought out. But if you were stuck, so I don't know if you guys have seen the movie The Martian.
Yes.
No. Okay. So great movie starring Matt Damon, and he
read
is. The book was great, actually. Book was fantastic. So he's stuck on Mars, and he's got only music from one of the other astronauts, and it's like 70s dance music. So if you were stuck on Mars and you had the choice of only Barry Manilow music or Justin Bieber music, which would you choose?
Boy, you know, I'm not that familiar with Justin Bieber, so I'm going to have to go with Justin Bieber because I feel like at least I wouldn't slip my wrist quite so quickly.
Oh, Mandy. Dan, what about you?
So I am married to a woman named Mandy, so I am going to go with Barry Manilow.
I do think it's hilarious that... Yeah, that's Sonia would rather slit her wrist than Barry Manilow.
I didn't say I would rather. I just said that, you know, I would be it would take longer.
It would
because I don't have the history with Justin Bieber. So by the time I got to that point, it would, you know, maybe I'd be rescued.
Oh, that's great. Sonia, do you want to ask us a question? I know we kind of sprung this on you really late.
No, that's fine. This is a Wisconsin question. Swiss or cheddar?
I'm going to say Swiss. I love Swiss cheese.
I'm going to go cheddar. Yeah. Cheddar guy.
All right. Okay. Sharp cheddar?
Ooh.
Medium.
Oh, no. Okay.
I'd go sharp if I pick cheddar.
I just had a 10-year-old cheddar this week. It was awesome.
See, I grew up in Oregon, and we have cheese of our own there. So we won't get into that.
Cheese wars.
The cheese.
I think Wisconsin cheesemaker just won some national contest or world contest actually.
Wow.
So Grand Cru.
Wisconsin, come for the cheese, stay for the 403B.
That's right. Right.
Or the IRA. I've got to get a family member to move there now so I can
Have one of your kids go to school there for college.
There you go.
They could be Badgers.
There you go.
Okay, so this is my second and last question. Sonia, Laverne or Shirley?
I don't even know which one is which.
You know, neither do I when I came up with that.
I think Laverne.
Well, Laverne had the L on her shoulder or all her stuff, and that's Penny Marshall, right?
Yes, yeah. She was a little... Yeah, I liked her.
Laverne, okay.
Yeah.
Scott?
Yeah, whichever one was Penny Marshall, I like her. She's still, you know, producing and as a big time person in Hollywood. I'll go with whichever one was Penny Marshall.
What happened to Shirley? I you know, she.
I don't know.
I Let's see. Cindy Williams, is that her name?
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's see. Cindy Williams. You know what's funny? I was just watching New Girl last night. Yes, I watched New Girl.
That's a
And
good show.
Fonzie was on there. So that's funny. We've got all these Happy Days things going on. So Shirley appeared in 19 films, including American Graffiti. And
Oh, yeah.
yeah, so we could go through her whole entire career here from Wikipedia, but I think our listeners probably would rather we move on.
All right, Scott, your turn to ask.
That's it, man. I don't have a second
Nothing? Okay.
question.
Okay. How about you, Sonia?
Whoa, let's see. Lees or Levi's?
I'm traditionalist. I'll go Levi's.
Yeah, I'm a
Yeah.
Levi's guy too, as well.
Yeah. All right.
Although I do like my lucky jeans.
Well, you better.
Does your wife like your lucky jeans? That's the real question.
She does.
Well, Sonia, we cannot thank you enough for number one, what you do. Thank you so much for that. Keep doing that. And two, of course, being on our podcast here. And we really appreciate all the information you shared.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so we'll just close with the moral of the story. If you're a union out there, please be like the WEA benefits organization. It is the right thing to do. Scott, any last parting words for this podcast?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think the WA member benefits is fantastic. And yeah, so look, unions should look to them for what they're doing, or look to them in concept, in spirit, because we don't expect every union, we don't really want every union to go out and create this whole structure, because it's probably not viable. But definitely look at their product and what they've done. This is the future of 403B, I think. It's fantastic. Great job, Sonia. This is great stuff.
Thanks again, Sonia.
Yep, no problem. Thank you.
The music you hear on the Teach and Retire Rich podcast was provided by Moreland and Arbuckle. You can check them out at morelandarbuckle.com.